Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we have just sung the words asking you to speak to us. And I, for one, rejoice to know that the answer to that song, that prayer, is right before us. Lord, it is not a matter of your silence that is ever our problem. It is a matter of our heart condition, willing, humble, prepared, ready to hear from you. You have spoken to us, and you continue to speak to us through your perfect and precious word. You've recorded by inspiration all that we ever need for life and godliness. And we gather this morning to give back to you the glory that you deserve, but also to receive from you the information, the instruction for our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your good and gracious plan that has poured into this precious book the hope and the help that we need. May we receive it. May each man, woman, boy, and girl who sits under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God this morning be challenged and encouraged and changed because of the truth that we interact with. Lord, your perfect word and your perfect spirit are ready to help and encourage your people this morning. Thank you for that. Cause us to hear. Conform us to Christ. Teach us, Lord. This morning, this audience before me has entered in from circumstances that I don't know. Maybe the drive here was good, maybe it was bad, maybe it was difficult, maybe it was joyful. But I rejoice to be a part of this gathering this morning and to know that you are uniquely present with us. Minister to heavy hearts. Encourage weak faith. Expand the joy of those who are loving and serving you as they ought this morning. Heavenly Father, please, please, we need you. We beg for your presence, your power, and your grace and mercy. Draw us close through your word today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible, you'd like to use one of the pew Bibles that is sitting there with you. It's on page 996. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be, and that's page 996 in the pew Bibles that are sitting right next to you. I'm going to read this entire chapter, and a portion of this chapter is our text for this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, page 996 in the pew Bible. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all as it was of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. This is our focus for today. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. For the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on our purpose and our mission here at Horton Baptist Church. And just to state it again, we believe as a church we exist to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. Our mission, then, we break into three parts, and we desire to produce disciples who love God. We talked about that last week. Who know His Word. We're going to talk about that this week. And next week, we will talk about those who serve Him. Love God, know His Word, and serve Him. Summed up in three words, three ideas that we hope in the future to use to guide and guard our ministries and our programs. Love, know, serve. I want to talk to you again about help and hope. I say again because just a few weeks back on Mother's Day, I used these same two words for my introduction. If you offer help and hope, or if you have a message of help and hope, you will always have an audience. People always need help, and people are always driving for hope. They need encouragement as they face difficulty. I am so thankful that the purpose and the mission of this church is not just something catchy or something that we are trying to do to promote some kind of growth in numbers or finances, but to better fulfill what we've been given the responsibility to do, and that is share help and hope with a lost and dying world. The big idea this morning that I want you to see is the second part of our mission: to produce disciples who love God and who know His Word. That's what we want to do. Produce disciples who love God and who know His Word. Just about a week ago, I purchased a new grill. I did. Very exciting. And the display model was already taken. Some of you would never choose the display model. I always choose the display model. You know why? Not because it's cheaper. I don't care if it's cheaper. If it's cheaper, that's just a bonus. I choose it because it's already put together. Those of you who have worked with me on any kinds of hands-on project understand why that's important to me. The first grill that I bought after my wife and I got married, I put the bottom on backwards. The bottom stayed on backwards for 10 years because by the time I got that thing together, I was not taking it apart to fix it. If it was not going to tip over or burst into flame, it was fine the way it was. The display model was gone, so I got the box. I opened the box, and there were a lot more pieces than I wanted there to be. But I got it together, and yes, I even got it working thanks to the help of my wife and one other very important item: the directions. That's right. My name is Stephen Moore, and I use directions. Paul describes for us in 1 Peter chapter 3 a culture that does not sound much different than our own. A culture that says, I am ultimate. there is no truth. And even if there is truth, surely it can't be known. So do what you want. This is the culture that he describes in the first part of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And that culture does not sound much different than our own. But amazingly, God immediately challenges that, and his word says, I, God, am ultimate. There is truth, and it can be known. So prepare for judgment. In a world that says, I, the individual, the person, am ultimate, I cannot be held accountable to a standard, God rebukes us with the exact opposite and says, I made you. I am creator. You were made to glorify me. This is a truth that you should know, and one day you will be held accountable to it. Well, how can we know this? The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. There are directions. There are instructions. God has given us the information that we need to do right. This is the message that the church needs to share. There is truth. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be one who shares that truth. And by inspiration of the Word of God, this is the message for us as well. We must know the truth. We must know the directions. That is what a good disciple does. And we share those directions. We share that truth with others. Let's look at this text a little more closely this morning. I want you to see, first of all, the situation that we're in. In verse 1, Paul says, understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. I don't think Paul was trying to describe some far-off time. I think it's very clear from Paul's writing and from other texts, they assumed that they were in the last days. He says, hey, this is the character, this is the nature of last times. There will be difficulty for believers in this fallen world. That is a reality for us. Why is there difficulty? Look at the verses that follow, 2-5. Paul gives a laundry list of societal problems. See if any of these sound familiar to you. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you notice something here? Do you hear how many times the word love is used in that list of problems? These are passion problems. Do you remember what we talked about last week? The first thing that we need to do is have a right passion, and it's a passion for God. God has made us passionate people. He's given us desires for good and right things, and Satan wants to come along and put those passions and those desires in all the wrong places. And that's what's happening here. This list reminds me of something. The newspaper I get every day. I can find stories, pictures, and articles of just about every single one of these things. They have the appearance of godliness, Paul says, but they deny its power. They have the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. What does that mean? Do you see that there? The appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. It's like these are church people. These are Christian people. What power are they denying? This is probably a whole nother sermon, but I believe that what power they are denying is the power to change and transform their lives to be like Christ. Listen to me, folks. Like I said, whole nother sermon. Let me just give you the bullet points. If you profess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you are in the Word of God, and you are showing up at church, and yet there is no corresponding growth towards godliness, if you cannot look back over the week, the month, the year, and say, I know for a fact that I'm having more victory over sin, and I am closer to my Savior, you are denying the power of the gospel that saves you. Your salvation was not just a get-out-of-hell-free card. God saved you to conform you and transform you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he's going to do that through the Word of God. And if it's not happening, you're denying the very power you profess. Paul says, avoid these people. Don't be around them. We don't always have a choice, do we? Verse 6 and 7 says, not only are these people corrupt, but they're corrupting others, always learning, never arriving. Verse 8 and 9, though these two people aren't mentioned by name anywhere else in the scripture, it seems that this Jannes and Jambres are the Old Testament magicians that worked for Pharaoh. You find this story in Exodus chapter 7 when Moses was giving the signs and wonders and saying, let my people go. These two magicians, it says that they did the same things as Moses by their dark arts or by their enchantments or by their tricks. Was this demonic power? Was this just a charade? Really not sure. It could have been a combination of both. The thing that always makes me laugh about that, you know, if Jannes and Jambres really wanted to win brownie points with Pharaoh, wouldn't it have been cooler if they counteracted Moses' plagues? Look, a plague of flies. Oh, we can do that. Here's a second plague of flies. But of course, Scripture makes it clear they won't get very far. Their lack of power will be made evident. This is the situation that we're in. A dark and wicked, sinful age of people driven by wrong passions. That's the situation we're in, but we are called to live differently. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, the way we are to live. This is the situation we're in, but look at the way we are to live. Verse 10, Paul says, you, however. Paul is setting up an obvious contrast. You, Timothy, however, different than this, not like this. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, the character of my life. You've seen the persecution and everything that I've gone through. Paul commends Timothy for what he has done and how he's followed his example. Paul reminds Timothy in verses 10 through 13 that suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. That's a good reminder for us to hear. By the way, that suffering is a whole lot worse than just the auditorium being too hot on Sunday morning, okay? He reminds Timothy, it's going to get worse. And look at verse 14. You, however, Timothy, and then verse 14, he says, but as for you, Timothy, here again is another statement of contrast. Don't be like this, but do this. As for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. There's so much in just this short verse here. Paul is challenging Timothy. Continue in what you've learned and what you believe. Continue in the truth that has been taught to you. Where did he learn it? Chapter 1, verse 5 of this book actually tells us that Timothy learned the truth from his mom and his grandma. His mom and his grandma. Verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Hagios Graphe, the holy scriptures. Paul uses a very specific term here. He wants to point to the sacredness and the holiness and the power of the Word of God. You have known the sacred writings which were able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. The Word of God is able to save you. How? By pointing you to Christ. You know, there's a neat little thing, and I know for a fact that some of you use it because you've told me or showed it to me written in your Bibles. The Romans Road. Those few verses that we can work our way through texts in Romans and point people to the truth of the gospel, that all have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God, but praise the Lord, God demonstrated his love for us and sent Christ so that if we confess and believe, we will be saved. I wonder how many of you have the Leviticus road, the Deuteronomy road in your Bible. How many of you could take those sacred Old Testament books and show clearly how they point to Christ? Paul says they do that. The scripture, both old and new, is pointing to and away from the cross of Jesus Christ and how the shed blood of our Savior was the all-sufficient, wrath-removing sacrifice by which we can be saved by faith. Paul says, Timothy, we're in a terrible situation, but I want you to be different. It sounds very familiar to what Paul said to the Romans in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We even sang those words in the last song just before we studied the Word of God. Be renewed. How do we do this? How can we not be like the world described here in 2 Timothy 3, but be like the character of young Timothy, this follower of Paul, this disciple of Christ? One commentator answers this question for us with the same truth that Paul gives. The only way you can defeat Satan's lies is with God's truth. Thus saith the Lord is the final answer to every question. Christian, we have truth. We have the Word of God, and it is our help and hope. You see the situation we're in. You see how we are called to live. I want you to see, third this morning, the help and the hope that we have. It is found in the Word of God. Verse 16, Paul says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is inspired. It is inerrant. It is infallible. God superintended the human authors so that they composed exactly what he wanted them to record in their own words without error. The source of Scripture is the God of the universe himself. We have a tool, we have a resource, we have instructions that came from the eternal, almighty God. This is our help and our hope. The source of Scripture is God himself. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable. It is beneficial. It is valuable. For what? What is the Word of God profitable for? Short answer, everything. Look what he says. It has value for teaching. For teaching. This is the most general word of the four that he gives us. This word helps you know stuff. You know the Bible helps you know stuff? Did you know that? Even about the hard questions. Those real thunkers, you know? Where did I come from? You know the Bible talks about that? What about difficult topics that science can't get to the bottom of? Why is there suffering in the world? Did you know the Bible talks about that? Morality. How can we know? Are there any rights or wrongs when it comes to human sexuality? Or is our life and our body to be an all-you-can-eat buffet of any desire that pops to our mind? Did you know the Bible has the answer to that? You can know stuff because God's Word tells you. The Bible is profitable for teaching. It is profitable for reproving. This is refuting error. This is convicting the sinner. The Bible reveals our sin. Romans 7:7 says, I wouldn't have known sin if it weren't for the Word of God. The law teaches us. It's like a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. It shows us the error of our ways. Folks, there are more people who are not hearing the truth of the gospel today, not because they don't have access to it, but because they don't think they need it. They're not getting saved because they're never lost. They're not trusting in Christ because they don't recognize their need for Christ. The Bible shows us our sinfulness. The Bible teaches, it reproves. Paul says it also corrects. This is restoration. This is to restore to an upright position. This is to fix what is wrong. The Bible helps you make things right when they have gone wrong. And finally, Paul says, the Bible is good for training us in righteousness. This word comes from the same word of child. A child has the idea of rearing, training, and instructing. It brings you along in maturity. Warren Wiersbe says, the Bible is profitable for doctrine. That is what is right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's not right. It's profitable for correction. That's how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. Listen to this. A Christian who studies the Bible and applies what he learns will grow in holiness and avoid many of the pitfalls in this world. The Bible will give you help and hope. This book is not just a fact book for your brain. It is a guidebook for your life. This is the description of Scripture in verse 16. Here is the purpose of Scripture in verse 17. So that, there's an important word here that says, this is why, so that the man of God, and don't think that that's just masculine, that is the person of God, may be competent and equipped for every good work. This is so that you, believer, may have everything you need to face the task. You may be complete, mature, and equipped. You will have everything for every good work. You will be able to do and accomplish whatever God asks you to do. You will have the right tools for the job. We have help, and we have hope, and it's right here in the Word of God. Let me challenge you this morning. Are we as a church fulfilling our mission of helping people know God's word? Horton Baptist Church, I believe we must keep the word of God as the main thing. Just a few verses down in chapter 4 of this book, Paul's going to tell Timothy, preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word. Don't preach the newspaper. Don't preach what's hot off the press. Don't preach the coming events, coming attractions. Preach the word of God. Share it, apply it. Make sure that it's getting into people's hearts and not just their heads. How can we do this? If you want to write this down, this is a challenge to each and every one of you if you are part of our local church. Do you know what you can do to help us fulfill our mission? Pray for God to use, to work through his word and through his spirit in this church. Pray for God to work through his word and by his spirit in this church. That's the first and most important thing you can do. Say, God, use your word. Change my life. Change the lives who sit under the preaching and teaching of the word of God. The second thing that you can do to help us as a church fulfill our mission, have right expectations of your pastors and their responsibilities. Have right expectations of your pastors and their responsibilities. The most important thing that I can do for you is know that I can stand with confidence, prepared and studied and prepared to say, thus saith the Lord, every Sunday morning. If other things and other expectations are crowding out the pastors from their consistent and meaningful study of God's word, and we are getting up and spouting things that just have been hobbled together, we are not serving you as we should. Pray, have right expectations, evaluate ministries and programs. Do they help people know God's word? Do the ministries and programs of this church help people know God's word? And finally, stand for and speak the truth appropriately. You can be a part of that. Stand for and speak the truth appropriately, even when people don't like it. That's how you can help us. My second challenge is, do you know God's word? My applications here are just going to come straight from certain texts of Scripture. I want you to challenge yourself with these questions. Number one, do you value the Word of God? Do you value the Word of God? Job 23, verse 12, listen to this. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. When I was growing up, sometimes we'd come downstairs and my dad would look at me and he'd say, no Bible, no breakfast. I think he might have missed our heart sometimes with that, but we knew what he meant. No Bible, no breakfast. Job says, I have not departed from your lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Psalm chapter 1, I meditate on your word day and night. Psalm 119, that beautiful portion of Scripture that shows the value of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. The Bible leads to salvation. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 11, the Bible keeps you from sin. Believer, do you understand the value of the word of God? Second question, are you consuming the word of God? Are you consuming the word of God? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word that you may grow by it. It is June 4th, which is my baby girl's first birthday. So you knew something had to get in here, right? A year ago, little Emma was born. She takes a bottle and snarfs down goldfish and all kinds of other stuff now. When she was first born, she was more attached to mom. I'll just say it that way. And every single man in here, if you've ever held a newborn baby, has experienced that awkward rooting thing, right? You know, you're just trying to go to the hospital and visit your new niece, nephew, whatever, and you hold this little baby, and the baby just starts going, har, 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 har. And you're looking down going, sorry, dude, I got nothing. Instinctually, this infant, this baby of not more than a few hours or a few days maybe is rooting and looking and trying to find that source of nourishment. And Peter takes that and says, this is what the new believer and those who are growing in Christ should be like. Are you faithful to church? That's a good start. Are you involved in Bible study? Every single one of you should be. Some way, shape, or form. Just generally, as we take a look at our services, what we say is that our AM service, this time right here, is a chance for us to worship, give God the glory for who he is. But guess what? We want you involved in a time where you are learning and applying and able to question and grow in God's word for yourself. Not just sitting here listening to Pastor Stephen talk. Be faithful to this time. Praise the Lord. This is when we give God glory for who he is. But we have Sunday school. We have Sunday night. We have men's studies. We have ladies' studies. It is our desire that every single person who is a member of Horton Baptist Church would be engaged in one of those as well. And that's a challenge because some of you are not. You're trying to get everything in 1 half-hour, okay, let's be honest, more like 45-minute dose on Sunday morning. We do not believe that that is possible. Be involved in a small group Bible study, Sunday school, Sunday night, a men's study, a ladies' study. Be consistent and meaningful in your personal devotions. This is an absolute must, and we will help you. Do you struggle to maintain personal devotions and prayer? I'd be more than happy to help you. Wonderful books, wonderful resources. I'm going through what's probably been the best Bible study book I've ever been through in my life right now, New Morning Mercies. I love it. It's a one-page devotional, and it has been more powerful than any other devotional book I've ever used. I love it. Get involved in a Bible reading plan. Hold yourself accountable. Be faithful to church. Be involved in small group studies. Be faithful and consistent in your devotions. Men, are you leading your wives and your children in the Word of God? Husbands and fathers, are you leading your wives and your children in the Word of God? The best thing that you can do for your child's soul is become actively involved in a gospel-preaching, gospel-living community. My baby girl turns 1 year old today. And I can feed her, and I can provide for her, and I can protect her as best as I humanly possibly can. I have no. I have no control over whether or not her wicked and sinful little heart. That's right, she was born an angel, but she's got a demon spirit. I have no control over whether or not she will come to know Christ as her personal Savior. That is a work of God alone. And while that scares me, it comforts me at the same time because I can't blow it for her. There's not a parent in here that can blow it for their child. God can work despite you. And all the parents said? Amen. But what I can do for her is expose her to the Word of God and the people of God as consistently as possibly can and beg on my knees that God will draw all of my children to Himself. And I do. The best thing you can do for your child's soul is become actively involved in a gospel-preaching, gospel-living community. Men, I'm going to share this quote with you. It's by a gentleman by the name of Parsons. I share it with you because it was a kick in the pants that I even kind of needed. He says, "Men, if you don't lead your families in worship, you're probably not leading your families very well at all." That was short, it was blunt, it was good for me to hear. If you are not leading your families in worship, you are probably not leading your families very well at all. Are you valuing the Word of God? Are you consuming the Word of God? And are you applying the Word of God? We end with this. James chapter 1, turn there, please. James chapter 1, it's page 1011 if you want to grab a pew Bible next to you. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Are you applying the Word of God? Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Are you a hearer and a doer of the word this morning? That is our desire as a church. Is that each and every one of us would know and apply the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your perfect Word, the help and the hope that it gives. Please draw us into it and its truth for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.